The fifth cry from the cross is found in John 19, verse 28. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. After the momentous cry of abandonment comes a cry so short we could miss it. "I thirst." Earlier in the crucifixion, Jesus had refused a drink of the cheap wine vinegar mixed with myrrh, which would have deadened the pain somewhat. He wanted to be fully conscious as he carried out his great rescue mission. And 6 hours later, he still thirsts. This cry speaks to us of Jesus' humanity. Here we see Jesus as our great substitute. Why does he cry this? At one level, the answer is not deep, but at another level, it is profound. He cries this because he is thirsty. Stop and think about that for a moment. He who created the oceans, the seas, and the rivers, by simply speaking, thirsts. He who turned gallons of water into the finest of wine, thirsts. He who brought clear, pure drinking water from the rock in the desert for the children of Israel, thirsts. Almighty God thirsts. He probably hasn't drunk for 24 hours. We're told how in Gethsemane he sweated profusely in great agony of soul. That was followed by the trial, several beatings, a scourging, during which he would have also lost a lot of blood. And then there's the crucifixion under the hot midday sun. Added to that, there is the anguish of his soul in bearing hell on earth. No wonder he has a raging thirst. The songwriter in Psalm 22 foresees this and says, "My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth." But he is Almighty God. Why does he thirst? He thirsts because he is our substitute. He is not there to be God. He is there to be you and me. He is there to stand in our place and to take our punishment. That's why he doesn't call on his miraculous powers. He is there in the place of people who have none. And although he is fully God, he is also fully human. He left the glory of heaven to come to this sin-scarred earth to rescue sinful humans like you and me. And to do so, he had to restrain his divine power and glory. Because the only way he could rescue us was to come and stand in our shoes, to become like us in every way, with the exception of sin, and to take the punishment that we had deserved. He is our substitute, and this cry underscores the depth of that substitution. Jesus had once told a parable about the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man finds himself in hell, while Lazarus is in heaven. And the rich man asks God to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, he says, because I am in agony. Jesus offers to take that agony right down to the last detail, thirst, so that we would never be thirsty like this. In fact, that's why he promised, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Jesus is our great substitute. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this simple little saying that reveals so much. We thank you that we have a Saviour who fully understands our hurts, our pains, and our agonies, who understands our physical needs, our emotional needs and our spiritual needs. But far more than that, Father, we thank you for one who came not simply to understand us, but to rescue us. And to rescue us by taking the punishment that we deserved, right down to the very last detail. We thank you that he stayed on that cross, and that he didn't use his divine powers to come down off it or to ease his suffering. Thank you that he took our suffering in every way so that he could hold out to us the offer of living waters that would well up in us to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Once more we turn to the 22nd Psalm. As well as detailing his cry of abandonment, the psalm speaks of his suffering, his pierced hands and feet, the mockery, and in particular, his thirst.